Well, good morning, afternoon, wherever we are. I know I'm about sick of this cold, rainy weather. Oof. It's not friendly for us, you know, when we're working. I look forward to one of my greatest joys is on the trip up here is to watch in the springtime to see all the beautiful wildflowers on the side of the road. I just really enjoy that. So, I'm ready. I'm ready to see some wildflowers and some warm weather. Well, it's been a couple weeks since we've been here. We had last Sabbath off, and so I'm really happy to be here with my brothers and sisters. I really enjoyed Ben's sermon a couple of weeks ago. It was great to see God's hand among us. Ben came in and gave us some encouragement and gave us some instructions. And God sent Ben here. It was just what we needed. It was just a beautiful thing to see that God is with us. God is here. He's among us. He cares. Ben reminded us that the building is you and I. And that's what's important. And he encouraged us to remember to edify one another, to lift each other up, to build each other. And that's just what we needed to hear. You know, the most important thing in this room is you. Is us. It's the people. The people are the church. We all sit here because of God's agape love towards mankind. God is agape. He is love. It is his character. It is the basis of his whole being. That's what he is. It's what he's made of. It is who he is. And it motivates him. It is what motivates him. Everything that he does from agape. From love. You and I, we have different motives at different times. If I'm to be honest with you, I've been motivated by my own self-ambitions. I've been motivated by lust at times. And I've even been motivated by money. There's times in my life that I've been motivated by agape, by love. But God is always motivated by agape. Always. There's never a time that that's not his motivation. Everything he does is based in agape love. So we're going to take a few looks at, in the ancient Greek, it's not like English. We have one word for love. We just have love, which can entail a lot of different things. But in the Greek language, it was a little different. There were different kinds of love, different forms of love. And today we're going to take a look at that. Some of them are mentioned in the Bible and some of them aren't. The first I want to begin with is filial. So anyone know what filial is? Friendship, brotherly love. It's love between two friends. And we have an example of that in the Bible. Let's turn to John 11, please. John And we'll pick it up in verse 1. It says, "Now a certain man was sick. His name was Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother was Lazarus. Therefore her sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, your brotherly love here, your friend is sick. Therefore his sister sent out, saying, Lord, behold, him whom thou love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, The sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha." Give me a second here. He agape'd her. Let me make sure I'm telling you that right. Now Jesus agape'd Martha. He loved her with a divine love, a different kind of love than brotherly love. He agape'd Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, said his disciple, "Let us go into Judea again." His disciple said unto him, "Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and thou go there again?" But you see, remember I told you that agape love motivates him. Because he agape'd Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he needed to go. Jesus answers, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walks in the day, he stumbles not, because he sees the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbles, because there is no light in him. These things he said, and after that he said unto them, Our friend, Filio." Filio, when it's translated as a noun, it's translated friend. When it's a verb, it'll be used as love. So our filio, our friend, Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him up out of sleep. Then said his disciples, "Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spoke of him, of his death, but they thought that he was speaking of taking rest in sleep. Then said unto Jesus unto them, Plainly Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nonetheless, let us go on to him." Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto the fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." We were scared of being stoned. Then when Jesus came into he found that he had laying in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was a nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said unto Martha, unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou ask of God, God will give it to thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said, yeah, I know he'll rise in the resurrection. Again, in the resurrection, at the last day, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he was dead, yet he shall live. And whosoever live and believe in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Do you believe this? She said unto him, yes, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ of God, which should come into this world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary and her sister secretly, saying, the master is come and calls for thee. As soon as she heard, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet coming into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goes unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? They said unto the Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold, how he loved him like a brother, how he filioed him. He loved Lazarus like a brother. And the agape love he had for him sent him to raise him up. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, come to the grave. There was a cave and a stone laid up on it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinks, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou would believe, thou would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and knew that thou hear, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said on him, Lazarus, Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen these things, they believed. God is motivated by agape love. Even though he knew that this was a dangerous place to go, he knew he had to go for his friend Lazarus, his filio, his brother. His brother. So in the Bible, you will see examples of different styles of love, different forms of love. This was a perfect example of filial, brotherly love, friend, love for a friend, and agape love. God is always motivated by agape love. The next, one of the other forms of love is eros, E-R-O-S. Eros. That's the love I have with my wife. It's an attraction, a sexual attraction, a love between a husband and a wife. It's not mentioned in the Bible, but Solomon sure does talk about it in the Song of Solomon. It's that type of love. The next love, form of love we find is storge, S-T-O-R-G-E. Anybody know what that is? Family love. It's a natural love that I would have with a brother, with my sibling. It's a natural love that I would have towards my parent. It's natural. It's a natural affection. It just comes naturally. You know how families are bound by that love? It's just a natural form of love. Brother, sister, parent, child, that type of love. It's not mentioned in the Bible, but the negative form of it is. And that's astorgos. And it means without natural affection. It's the opposite of storge. We get an example of that in Romans. Let's turn to Romans 1. We'll pick it up in verse 28. It says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, and without natural affection. That's the storge. They don't even have love for their parents, their children, their brother. In the last days, we'll see these things happen. People will be full of a storge. The natural affection will be wiped out. They won't even have it anymore. This is the negative form of storge. Then we have agape love. Agape love is divine. It only comes from God. It only comes from God. It's divine. It's a sacrificial love. In fact, many of the translators of the dictionaries, the Bible dictionaries, they don't know what agape love is. They don't know. They don't know how to define it. It's the one that only God can give. And it only comes through His Holy Spirit. Turn to John 21, if you will. This is very interesting. John 21, we'll pick it up in verse 15. Just hold your spot. Jump over to Romans 5, please. Romans 5 and 5. Remember I told you that agape love only comes through God's Spirit. It's divine. It only can come from Him. Romans 5 says, "And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts." The agape of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. That's why the translators of the dictionaries, they don't know what agape love is. They don't know. Only those that are given God's Spirit begin to understand what agape love is. It's not for everyone at this time. Everyone does not possess agape love. But those in this room, they do. They do. We possess agape love. It only comes through God's Spirit. Okay, let's head back to John, please. John 21:15. I found this to be very interesting. So when they dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, "Simon, Simon, son of Jonas, love thou me more than these? Do you love me more than these? Do you agape me more than these?" Jesus said unto Simon Peter, "Son of Jonas, love thou, do you agape me more than these?" He said unto him, "Yes, Lord, thou knowest that I love you like a brother, that I filio you." Why can't Peter agape Jesus at this time? Why can't he? What, Randy? He don't have the Spirit. He don't have the Spirit. Later you will find when you read the book of Peter that he understood what agape love was once he got the Spirit. He talks about it in the book of Peter. He didn't have any idea what Christ was talking about right here. Christ asked him again. "You know," Simon says, you know I love you like a brother. He said on him, "Well, feed my lambs." Christ said unto him again, the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, do thou agape me?" He said unto him, "Yes, Lord, thou knowest that I love you like a brother, that I filio you." He said unto him, "Well, then feed my sheep." He said unto him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonas." This time Christ says, "Do you love me like a brother?" Christ knew. And of course, Simon Peter's answer was, "You know I love you like a brother." Because he said unto him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, do thou filio me?" Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "I love you like a brother. You know all things. That I filio you, that I love you like a brother." Jesus said unto him, "Well, feed my sheep." We have a prime example here that only God's Spirit can give us agape love. It's not available to everybody. But it's in this room. I'm going to tell you guys what drew me to this congregation. The agape. When I met this congregation, I seen agape. And I wanted to be a part of it. It was the agape that just made me want to be here. And I know there's agape in this room. I know there is. Agape love is divine, and it only comes from God. Its definition is being defined in our hearts today. We do not understand the depth of it, the height of it, how wide it is, how deep it goes. We don't know. We are finding that out as we grow. The definition is not complete. We will not see the complete definition until we see our Father face to face. But we are expected to grow in agape. And it needs to be the motivating factor. It needs to be what motivates us in all that we do. Everything we do. We must grow in agape. Agape love is a choice. It's a choice we must make. We must choose it. It is not like the natural affection. It's not like that at all. In fact, our nature is against it. We must choose to do it. Turn to Matthew 5, if you will. Verse 43. It says, you have heard that it has been said, thou shalt agape thy neighbor. It's talking to the church, the ecclesia. And hate thy enemy. But I say unto thee, agape your enemy. Now, does that come natural to anyone? Not at all. It's a choice we must make. We must choose agape in every situation we face. In every circumstances that arise, we must make that choice that I will operate from agape. And as time goes on, it should become more natural. But we must make that choice. It would be hard if I was a Ukrainian right now to agape Russia or the Russian soldiers, but I would have to make that choice. There is never an excuse not to operate out of agape. God doesn't grant us that. You must operate from agape, and you must choose it in the most difficult circumstances in your life. When agape doesn't seem feasible. It's a choice we must make in circumstances and situations in our life. We must choose it. But I say unto you, agape your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. So that you may be children of your Father. That's his characteristics. And his children should look just like him. They should look just like him. They must have agape. John 13. Pick it up in verse 33. It says, little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me, and as I said unto the, you shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whether I go, you cannot go. You cannot come, so now I say unto you, a new commandment I give you. I give unto you that you agape one another. You see, you go a little deeper. We just don't get to love each other like a brother. We have to agape. You know, the thing about agape, it's not based on any circumstances. Agape comes from God's Spirit that is in you. And it doesn't matter what someone says, what they do. It doesn't matter. Because the Spirit in you gives you agape. Now imagine our God, if he didn't have agape, there would be no Savior. We are to look like our God. And if the circumstances predicted whether God had agape or not, we wouldn't have a chance of salvation. Because we were all sinners. Agape is a choice. And it's not based on what I'm facing. It's not based on what you do to me. Or if you don't like how I look or what I say or how I act, it's not based on that. A new commandment I give unto you, that you agape one another as I have agape you. That you also agape one another. Listen to this. By this, all men shall know that you are my disciples if you have agape for one another. It's the identifying mark of God's true disciples. You have agape for one another. The world can recognize it. It's different than filio or eros or storge. It's different. It's something different. It's divine. It can't be described. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have agape for one another. When I first met this congregation, I seen that. There was some agape here, and there's still agape here today. But that's what drew me here. Agape. The the love that they had for one another. First Corinthians. Let's go to the agape chapter. It says in Philio or Storge or Arios, this is agape. First Corinthians 13. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not agape, I become as sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. I'm just making a bunch of noise. If agape ain't present, you're just making a bunch of noise. I'm just making a bunch of noise. And though I have the gift of prophecy, I could be the greatest prophet that ever lived. I could be the greatest preacher that ever lived. I could be the greatest elder, the deacon, the greatest whatever. And understand all mysteries. And I have a bunch of knowledge. And though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and I have not agape, I am nothing. I am nothing. I can sit here every Sabbath and preach at you and yell at you, but if I don't have agape, it's nothing. It's nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body, I make all kinds of sacrifices to be burned and have not agape, there is no profit in it. It profits me nothing. Here's what agape looks like. Verse 4. Agape, it suffers long and is kind. Notice what it does not say. It doesn't say it suffers long and is kind part-time. It is its characteristics. It's all the time. Agape envies not. Agape does not pride itself. It's not puffed up. It does not behave unseemingly. And it doesn't seek its own. It seeks for the other person's best interests. It seeks to edify someone else. To lift them up. It is not easily provoked. And it thinks no evil. It doesn't think evil of one another. It gives each other the benefit of the doubt. Especially among brethren. It doesn't rejoice in iniquity and in sin. It rejoices in the truth. It bears all things. It bears with each other. It sticks together. It believes all things. It hopes all things, and it endures all things. You know, agape, it endures. Agape is what brings you to the end of this race. Your love for God. It's what keeps you going. And we must keep that agape for one another as well. The two great commandments. Agape, it doesn't fail. It doesn't fail. But where there's prophecy, that stuff fails. They shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether they be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Look, church, for we all know in part, every one of us sitting in this room, we don't have the complete story. I surely don't, and none of us do here. We all see dimly. I don't have the answers to everything. None of us do. We know in part. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. We will never know until we see our brother Christ face to face. We just know in part, man. We're all on the same road. We're all navigating through this life, and we all know in part. It's just the true facts. The only one that knows is our Father and His Son. We just know in part. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away those things, those childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, dimly. But then face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even also as I am known. And now abide. I mean, stay there. Abide in faith. Abide in hope. And abide in agape. But the greatest of these is agape. It's all that we got. It's all that we got. It's what God gives us to give in return. Agape. It is the greatest thing that we possess. It is the, there is nothing else on this planet more valuable than agape. Nothing. I don't care how much money you got. I don't care how big your house is. I don't care how many friends you got. I don't care what kind of car you drive. I don't care if you prophesy, if you're the greatest speaker in the world, if you don't have agape, it's nothing. It boils down to nothing. God has given us agape, and we are to give it back to one another, to the world. It's how they recognize us. Agape is a fruit. It must be cultivated. It must be grown. Turn to Galatians, please. Galatians 5:13 says, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by agape serve one another." For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, thou shalt agape thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed by one another. This I say, then walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the lust of the, for the flesh lust against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. There's always that fight. And we are required to choose agape. And the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variances, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of whom I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do these things cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You see, we are without excuse. We must choose agape. But the fruit of the Spirit is agape. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. It's what God wants. That's the character we are striving to have. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. So if you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. John 15. Verse 16. You know, all of mankind, all of God's people, we take wrong turns. We do things that we walk in the flesh sometimes. Sometimes we get a little off track. We just do. That's nature, right? I mean, like, sometimes we just do that. I do in my walk. And sometimes we need a little shaken up. We need to be reminded of what's important and what's not important. And I think this is perfect for us to remember. It says, "You have not chose me, but God has chosen us." And ordained us that we should go and bear fruit and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whosoever you shall ask, you know, when our concentration on agape and the fruits, God says, whatever you ask, I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you. But I don't think he's going to give it to us when we walk in the flesh. I just don't think he's going to do that. Let our concentration be on agape. And you know what? This building just might fall in our hands. Keep agape alive. Love you guys. Thank you.